How great thou art for our opening song.
Thank you.
much as possible, shall we kneel in prayer? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, once more today we bow our knees before Thee, thanking Thee for the many blessings that Thou hast given us, thanking Thee, Father, for the privilege of being here to fellowship with our brothers and sisters, to fellowship with You and Your Son, and to enjoy Thy Spirit. We ask, Father, this night that as Your servant and our brother would stand before us, that Thou would pour out Thy Holy Spirit upon him, that Thou would loosen his tongue and open his heart and his mind to the message that Thou would have for us this night, and by the gift and the power and the guidance of Thy Spirit, that he would give the message. We ask, Father, that Thou be with those who are sick and afflicted. There were many needs and names mentioned this day. We pray for each and every one of them, praying that Thy Holy Spirit would be poured out upon them to lift them up, to heal them, to give them comfort, to bring peace unto their hearts and their minds, perhaps to bring peace to troubled souls. We pray, Father, for the work of the gospel in these days, praying that Thy, the gift and power of Thy Holy Spirit, that would go forth amongst the nations of the world, amongst Thine ancient covenant people, that Thou would call forth laborers to serve Thee, that Thou would send them forth under the gift and the power of Thy Spirit. We ask, Father, that Thou would forgive us our weaknesses and our shortcomings, strengthen us against those things in life that would hinder our service unto Thee. We pray, Father, for our families, that Thou would bless each and every one of us, and that each of us would be strong and faithful in this gospel, and that we would endure unto the end, and that we'd have great faith and great trust in Thee. Father, we do thank Thee once more for Thy many, many blessings, and we ask that as we wait before Thee, that Thy Spirit would be in our midst, that You'd open our hearts and our minds, that we'd be in tune unto Thy voice. And I'd ask it in the name of Christ. Amen. 3, 4, 7. Shall we stand as we sing? Ask your kind and your careful and your prayerful attention to the speaker of the hour, Andy Brown.
Thank you, Ken. It's amazing to me whenever I think that life can get no busier, it does. I find myself running everywhere I go, and people and places demanding my time. And then I look around me, and I find that most everyone around me I know is doing the same thing. And so it's difficult for us to dedicate the time that is necessary, the time that we should, to do the things that we should. This evening I want to talk to you about a couple different things. exactly how to present them, I don't know, but we'll see how it goes. I'd like to start as a text in St. John, the 15th chapter, starting in the first verse. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abideth in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. And whoso and what without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burnt. If ye abide in me, and my word abideth in you, ye shall ask that ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is the Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. In this reading, it's an example that we can all understand, certainly an example they could understand at that time, being agriculturally minded people. But we realize that as a tree grows or a grapevine grows, the way to make it grow better is to trim it up, trim the dead branches off, and keep it clean. And somehow this is us here today. And I am a little perplexed, I guess, this evening. A little perhaps at a loss for words, as I often find myself up here, truly being able to express the thought that's on my heart. And to be honest with you, or to be a little more open with you, I should say, hopefully I'm always honest with you, sometimes I find myself at a loss of words because of an inability to open myself up, show some of my weakness perhaps. But hopefully this evening I'll be able to share a little bit more of myself. The thought I have on my heart concerning this is I look around me, I look at myself, I look at my brothers and sisters in the church, and I have to wonder how careful we are to make sure we're remaining in the vine, that we're attached, that we're an attached branch, that we're not striving out on our own, thinking that of our own strength we're able to survive. Because we find here in the fifth verse, it says, for without me ye can do nothing. And I look at the weakness, and I try not to dwell on weakness. We all have weaknesses, we realize that. We all have faults, we realize that. Hopefully we're endeavoring to do something about it. I know oftentimes about the time I think I'm endeavoring to do something about it, I find out I have another weakness or another fault myself. So certainly I'm talking to myself as much as anybody this evening. But I'm troubled and have been troubled for some time. And I'm not the only one. I'm not the only one. At the lack of our ability to see and to experience God's presence in us, God's moving in our life. I look at the Protestant religions around us. I look at the other restoration beliefs around us. And obviously I can see in them man's wisdom. I can see wherein man has substituted his wisdom for God's wisdom. And I find oftentimes wherein there's a lack of God, we excuse ourselves. I say we, people in the world, excuse themselves for that lack and have a reason. And I must admit, sometimes I see that same things here in our life, in my life. What I'm looking at this evening is not an easy subject. It's not an easy thing to pinpoint. It's nothing that I can hold up a picture of, a sign. It's nothing I can give an answer for. But it's something we need to look at. It's something we need to recognize. And it's something spiritual. It's something spiritual. It's not that somebody is out behind the church smoking a cigarette or drinking or doing this bad thing or that bad thing. It's something spiritual. It has something to do with the attitude. It has something to do with the heart. Let's look at John in the 14th chapter, in the 21st verse, one verse. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he is loved of me. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. And I'd ask, brothers and sisters, do we feel like that the Lord manifests himself unto us? I feel like he does from time to time. But as often we've heard, and this is another thing I thought of this evening as I prepared this, I read a multitude of scriptures. Thought of a multitude of thoughts. There's no new word I can say. There's no new thing I can say to awake us to the position we stand. But often, as we've heard it said, you know, are we satisfied to just nibble at the edges, to eat the crumbs? Seems though if we are, sadly. It seems though if we are, oftentimes. That I'm as guilty as anybody. Definitely as guilty as anybody. But I'd like us this evening to take a look. Just a handful of us that we are here. To take a look. Not at the person sitting next to you. But at yourself. And to think of your attitude. Of your love. And the amount of that love that's in your heart for not only our brothers and sisters here, but for the world. I want to read a verse I wasn't sure if I'd read or not. And there's something about this man who had a desire that was great. Alma, the 15th chapter. And in his greatness, in the desire that was so great, he felt that he actually overstepped the bounds. But we see in the 15th chapter, in the 51st verse, and it says, thus we see the great call of the diligence of men to labor in the vineyard of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason for sorrow and also of rejoicing, sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of light of Christ unto life. Oh, that I was an angel, and that I and could have the wish of my heart that I might go forth and speak as the trump of God with a voice to shake the earth and to cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul with the voice of thunder repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto the Lord, come unto God, that they might no more sorrow upon, or might be no more sorrow upon the face of the earth. And then he goes on to say, but behold, I am a man, and I do sin in my wish. In the 55th verse, and it says, I ought not to harrow up in my desire of a firm decree of a just God, for I know that he granteth unto all men according to their desires, whether they be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he alloweth men, yea, declare unto men decrees which are unalterable according to their will, which they, whether it be unto salvation or to destruction. You know, here this man, his desire was so great. For who? For himself? No. For those around him. Why would he have such a desire? Why would he have such a desire? I can only think of one reason. That was because the love of Jesus Christ dwelled in his heart. It dwelled in his heart to the magnitude that he had a desire to reach out unto everybody. And I look at that, if I could only have a portion of that desire, instead of perhaps coming in and just fulfilling my place in the pew and being silent, not having too much to say, maybe not having too much to say in my place of work or my school or my place of business, and seeing life just kind of slip away and not really making any impact in the lives of those around me, not really making any impact for the gospel of Christ. And I'm fearful that I'm not the only individual in this situation. I'm fearful that I'm not the only one. But that there's several of us who, for whatever reason, aren't able to really grasp hold, or haven't been able to really get a hold of what we should be doing. Have a direction in our life. I realize part of the problem, and that's the world we live in. And I'm going to touch on a couple things this evening that I haven't spoken of before, perhaps, or at least in a long time. I preached a sermon, I don't know, a few years ago, about coming out of the world. I've mentioned it several times, coming out of Babylon. And I want to touch on a couple things in particular this evening. And I'm just going to mention them. One of which, I find that people in the Church of Christ, people in general, their mind and their heart is being polluted today by the television set. Brothers and sisters, by the television set. Their mind is consumed by the heroes that our society has set before us, by music stars, country, western, rock, it doesn't make any difference. Their lives, their resources are consumed by this. The movie house. I've heard countless sermons in my life, but none too lately. And I've heard a revelation read that was given, I believe, to James E. Yates in 27, I think, or back in about that time, that talked about the movie house. And I don't know how much plainer we need to have it made. The Lord don't want you in the movie house, brothers and sisters. He don't want you there. And there's a good reason for it. There's a good reason for it. And if we're allowing our children or taking them there, we're at fault. We need to take a look at it. We need to take a serious look at it.
The Lord wants us to serve Him in every aspect of our life. Not just a few, every aspect. We need to be aware of the effects, the hidden sometimes effects that the world has on us. In music, in our day, in video, whether it be on the TV or in a movie house or a video we rent. Oftentimes I'm astonished. I'm taken back. I'm surprised when I see some of the things that our brothers and sisters watch. I'm surprised. But it's slowly getting there. The adversary just don't come out and have you watch the worst thing the first time you ever turn the TV on. But slowly he wears us down. And that's why the Lord told us so many years ago, when there was nothing wrong with the TV and there was nothing wrong with the movie house, stay away. Stay away. In our day, I forget, Debbie read me an article in the newspaper. There's a group of people who are endeavoring to have something to say about what's being watched on television. And she read how many acts of violence are per primetime show, and how the homosexual attitude is being projected as being okay. It's okay. We realize that in Europe, the television shows nudity, total nudity, and that's okay. And you'll see it here too. And if you're not aware, you'll be a partaker of it. So I'd ask that we might trust. You know, we talk about faith, we talk about trust, and sometimes we don't understand why. But when the Lord says, stay away from the picture show, trust Him. Just do it. That's not really the thrust of my sermon, but I feel some of these things to mention as I go. Because there has to be a reason that we're not where we belong spiritually. And the reason is a lack on our part. I'm confident that the Lord's hand is outstretched to me. I'm confident. But I'm also realize and have to recognize and look at myself and say, you know, how much time do I spend reaching my hand out to Him? Not much. Not much. That's to my shame. Not much. I would like to read a scripture in Matthew in the 10th chapter. And oftentimes as I prepare a sermon, I think, wow, that's sure going to sound negative. I sure hope that don't sound too negative. But if it sounds negative this evening, brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Sometimes we need to take a cold, hard look at what we're doing in life and where we're at and where we need to be. In the 10th chapter, in the 32nd verse and 33rd verse, and I might read a few there, it says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before man, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But to whosoever shall deny me before men, him also I also will deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace in the earth. I come not to send peace, but a sword." That was the Lord talking. He realized that if an individual was going to live a life of righteousness, there would be some division. There would be some division. From our family members, perhaps, if we read on, it says that a man's folds are in his own household and that he would set a man at variance with his father and with his daughter and his mother. Hopefully too many of us won't have that problem since our family members are in the church. But be prepared. If you're going to live a life that Christ would have you live, there's going to be division. There's going to be variance. You got to stand up and say, that's the way it is. I put the Lord first. I'd like to read a short scripture in Moroni. Near the end in the 10th chapter.
oftentimes I find myself drawn to this particular chapter because I felt like that Moroni was endeavoring to just give us a few things to hold on to, a few thoughts. The 27th verse, he says, "And again I exhort you that ye would come unto Christ and lay hold of every good gift and touch not the evil gift or the unclean thing." I'd like to read a few more verses there, but first I want to say something about that. He says, get a hold of every good gift, but touch not the evil thing. Touch not the evil thing or the unclean thing. And I'm afraid that sometimes that's exactly what we do. We want to do. It's the desire of our heart. It's just like the verse I read in Alma there that talked about the desire of your heart. That it's going to be given you. The desire of your heart is going to be given you. And especially perhaps some of the younger people who are listening, you need to realize that. That our mouth can say anything. Our mind can tell us what's right or wrong. But it's going to be the desire of our heart that eventually wins out. It happens over and over again. You can tell yourself it's wrong to go here or to do this, or it's wrong to be involved with this person or that person, but if the true desire of your heart is to do that, eventually it's going to win out. So if you recognize that the desire of your heart is improper, you need to do something about it. You need to do something about it. You need to ask the Lord to help you out. The 28th verse, and it says, "And awake and arise from the dust, O Jerusalem, yea, and put on the beautiful garment, O daughter of Zion." Something else that bothers me in my own life, and I'm afraid that it exists throughout, and that's our inability to be exact, to take it to the limit in every aspect of our life. The Lord wants us to be clean. He wants us to be white. Put on the beautiful garment, O daughter of Zion, and strengthen thy stakes and enlarge thy boundaries, for that thou mightest no more be confounded. There's something said there, that we wouldn't be confounded. That the covenant of the eternal Father, which he hath made unto thee, O house of Israel, may be fulfilled. Yea, come unto Christ and be perfect in him. Don't come unto Christ and be half-hearted. You know, we have heard in the past a statement, a phrase, that we've lost our first love. Our first love, that statement, referring to the fact that we need to love the gospel and love the Lord first in our life. First in our life. We read a scripture this morning in my Sunday school class, and it was where Alma and those had, Abinadi had been burned at the stake, and Alma was endeavoring to establish a church. And it made me think, you know, Abinadi, he was willing to go the way. He was willing to go all the way. There was no hesitance. It wasn't, I'll go this far, but if someone says something too hard to me, I'm bailing out. All the way to death. That's what the Lord expects of us. It says, "And come unto Christ and be perfect in him, and deny yourself all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourself of all ungodliness and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is his grace sufficient for us." We look in our life and we say, boy, I see in the scriptures where the Lord gave this revelation or this healing. I don't understand it. He said, love the Lord with all your heart, all your might, mind, and strength, and then is his grace sufficient for us. I like the phrase, it says, deny yourself all ungodliness. It doesn't say deny people around you ungodliness. Tell people it isn't right. Deny yourself all ungodliness. And I want to think on that maybe in a little more particular terms. I've heard it said that, oh, that's not a bad movie. It only had two bad words in it. Or it only had one love scene in it.
Well, it was pretty good. There was a couple spots we had to cover the kids' eyes. Well, then you're not denying yourself of all ungodliness. He said, stay away from it, period. Not one bad word, not one love scene, not one homosexual. He said, stay away from it, period. And it doesn't make any difference if you go to the theater, which, like I said, he doesn't want us to do, or if you rent a movie or watch a TV. Stay away from it. It's polluting your heart and your mind. It's polluting the Church of Christ. Picking up there in that same verse, and it says, deny yourself all ungodliness and deny yourself and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, that His grace will be sufficient for you, that by His grace ye might be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God. So it looks like it's a double thing there, you know. We have to deny ourselves, and then His grace is sufficient for us. And by His grace, then are we become perfect in Christ. We can't do it without Him. He's got to be an active part of it. Let's look in 2 Peter. I have a couple verses I'd like to read in 2 Peter. I don't want to overstate or overstay my time here this evening. I hope that you can receive the message that I bring. Like I say, it's not one that I can hold up before you. It's one that's in your heart. There has to be a reason for where we stand. There has to be a reason that every member of this local ain't here this evening. There has to be a reason for the attitude that we're involved with here. And we need to take a close look at it, at ourselves, not our brothers and sisters. 2 Peter, let's go in the first chapter. Let's look at the fourth verse. It says, thereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's what we want, isn't it? We want to be a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the corruptness that is in the world through lust. Again, it states two sides of the coin. The corruptness that is in the world through lust, and we want to be a partaker of the divine nature. And besides this, giving all diligence, add unto your faith virtue, and unto your virtue knowledge. He's telling us some things to do to encourage us in our life. And to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that they make you that ye shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right back to the vine we were talking about. We need to be fruitful. In order for us to be fruitful, these things have to be in our life. And abound. They have to be present. Think upon that. It's a way of escape to add these things to our life. It's a way of changing our attitude. Let's also look at 2 Peter in the third chapter. And this is, I was drawn to this scripture several times, and I think we'll see why. The eighth verse, it says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this thing, that one day is the Lord
One day is that the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. Okay, the time's unto us. And there's a reason I brought that out. In the next verse it says, and the Lord is not slack concerning his promises. He's going to be there for us. And he's going to be there against us if we're not careful. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, unwilling that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the Lord's desire, is that all should come to repentance. But he's not going to be slack concerning his promises. But the day of the Lord cometh as a thief in the night. In other words, we can have the computers and we can figure dates and times and places and try and pinpoint some time when the Lord's going to be here. Forget it. He comes as a thief in the night. In the which the heavens shall pass away, and a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. We realize that? My Honda 200 Quad is going to be burned up. It's going to be gone. All the works of my hands are going to be gone. You know what that means? It means we're all going to be on equal ground. No rich, no poor. And the ones who are of a heart and a mind to serve the Lord, that's going to be the rich. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought we to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens shall be as fire, the heavens being on fire shall be devoured, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to the promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Do we do that? Are we hastening the day of the Lord? Are we saying, boy, I sure hope he holds off a little bit longer so I can get my act together? Are we hastening the day of the Lord, looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth? Sometimes I have to ask myself that question. I had a few questions I wrote down here. I don't know if I'll ask them all. This morning, our brother Ken made a statement. He said, we are the salt of the earth. And he used a couple examples on how salt brought out the good things, the good taste in meat and the good things. And I have to ask you a question. Are we the salt of the earth? We need to look at ourselves. Are we the salt of the earth? Do we bring out the good things in those around us? Or are we just like everybody else? Do we let our light shine in the world of darkness? Is our light up there on the hill? Or we just blend in? Do we put on our shirt and tie on Sunday? Show up with a smile on her face, and that's as far as it goes? I hope not. Another question I find myself asking myself from time to time is, where am I in the plan of God? Do we know where we are in God's plan? If we don't, we better find out. It's something we need to find out. It's something we need to find out. Well, I hope that you've received something out of my message this evening. I don't feel any need to take any more of your time, but I would ask that you'd consider carefully the things I've said. Because if you can't recognize and you can't realize that we have some problems as individuals and as a group, we have some problems. Spiritually, we have some problems, and they need to be dealt with. They need to be dealt with. And each one of us is the one that has to deal with them. I can't deal with yours, and you can't deal with mine. Think on these things. Thank you.
Choose number 160. 160.
Thank you.
bow our heads? Our Father in heaven, we're indeed thankful for this day. We're thankful, Father, for the time that we spent here together this evening and for the message that Thou hast given unto Your people. I would ask, Father, that we take that message and apply it to our hearts. Help us, Father, to know Thy will in our lives. Help us, Father, to know what we're to do. Help us, Father, to realize the day and the time that we live in. Father, I pray that Thou would accept our thanksgiving for the many blessings that Thou hast given us. I would ask that Thou continue to watch over Thy people, to watch over those who are traveling, those who are in the missionary field. I pray, Father, that Thou would watch over the sick and the afflicted, the physical needs, the spiritual needs of life. And I ask, Father, that as we now depart and go our separate ways, that Thy Spirit would go with us, that Thou would keep us safe until we meet again. In the name of Christ, amen.